So we're drawing to toward the end of our chakos, Bezras Hashem. So we're going to have shir today, we'll have shir on Wednesday, and if there's anything left on Thursday, then we'll have shir on Thursday. Otherwise, we'll just go right into Chazar already on Thursday. Maybe we'll do Parsha anyway, but we'll get together for something on Thursday. But that's the plan, to try to finish up our chakos. Then next week, when I'm in Eretz Yisrael, it'll be Chazar week and then a Bechina, right? That's the plan. So we are up to, we're still in the food harchakos, and once we finish the food harchakos, then we have the bedroom harchakos, which aren't so many, so that will be it. But the food harchakos that we're up to right now is leftovers. The smak is quoted by the Beis Yosef that says, Ein kpeda lishtos bekos echad, achre shehim regilim lishtos baze achar zeh. That there's no problem to drink out of the same kos, unlike eating out of the same plate, which is a problem, but drinking out of the same kos, so you can take turns. One drinks after the other. And that's no problem, says the smak that the Beis Yosef quotes. The Yerayim says that the wife can drink the husband's leftovers, but the husband cannot drink the wife's leftovers. He's medayik from the fact that the Mishnah says, lo yochal enat lo sochal, that she could drink and eat his leftovers, but he cannot do the same for her leftovers. So it will turn out that forget about the issue of it being the same cup, but what about the issue of it being leftovers? So when it comes to the fact that it's leftovers, it is a one-way harchaka, that she is not allowed to, that she may have his leftovers, but he may not have her leftovers. The Rav Yah in Simur Kufay and Gimel adds that, you know, making the bed, Hatzas Amita and Mezikas Hakos are only usher when the husband is there, so the isser to eat her leftovers must also only apply when she is there. Now the question is, okay, this is a lot of discussion in Rishonim about drinks, but is the same thing true about food? Is everything that we're going to say about leftover drinks going to be true about leftover food as well? And it seems to be a broader machlokas than that. I mean, we're going to have 2 days, but it seems to be a machlokas what the ikari is and what's only a derivation. Meaning, is it really that fundamentally this is a food harchaka? And just as Rishonim say that afilu b'shtia, there's also going to be an isser, or no? Is this fundamentally a drink harchaka, which may or may not apply to food? It may not apply to food bechlal. So the Beis Yosef writes that her leftover food is mutter, that there's no isser of leftover food. The whole issue is only leftover drinks. Darke Moshe Uzdalit says, Hu hadin ba'ochel, that just like leftover drinks are asr, leftover food is asr as well. So you have a machlokas mechaber ramah over here, whether leftover food is a problem. So Sitrei Tara explains that the logic that food is mutter more so than drinks is that it's impossible to drink at the same time. I guess they hadn't invented straws yet. So it's impossible to drink at the same time. So by drinking one after the other, they're as close as they can possibly be. So by drinking her leftovers, you're doing what is the closest possible thing you could be doing in terms of sharing a drink with her. But eating from the same plate at the same time is possible. So if you're not eating from the same plate at the same time and you're just taking turns, that's not going to be as intimate. That's considered to be less intimate. Or eating from the same food at the same time, I should say. In the Ramah, in Siv Gimel, he says, Yesh omrim sha'asul alechol mishiyure machol shalah, the Ramah, like he says in Darkei Moshe, says in the Ramah and Shulchan Aruch in the Mappa that it's usher for a husband to eat his wife's leftovers. Shach Siv Kotlches points out that even though he only quotes it as a Yesh Omrim, it's pretty universally accepted. And if you look at the Rishonim, says the Shach, and here's the key line, Adaraba Shtia Nilmad Me'achila, that the Iker Isser is Achila, so it's really min HaKotze El HaKotze. You have the Mechaber saying that the Isser only applies to Shtia and not to Achila at all. Comes along the Shach and he says, what are you talking about? The Iker Isser is Achila. Shtia is derived from Achila, but it's primarily an Isser of Achila. Now the source of the Chumrah to be Machmir by Achila is a Hagos Maimonios in the name of Rav Lozer Mimitz, who was Medayik from the Lashon the Gemara, Ochalimi, Vishasa imi, right? Shabbos at Yud Gimel, when Leo Navi asks, you know, be mailing Bunamaut Eslech, and she said, Ochalimi, Shasa imi. So it makes a lot of sense to apply equally to food and to drink. the Aruch HaShulchan is, so you would think, like naturally, okay, so the Sfardim are going to be Mekel, that a husband's allowed to eat his wife's leftovers, and the Ashkenazim are going to be Machmir. And for the most part, that's true. However, there are exceptions in each direction. The Aruch HaShulchan and Sif Yud Beis is nota like the Mechaber, against the Ramah, that leftover food is Mutter. Ben Ishchai is nota lahachmir like the Ramah. But Pashtus is not that way, right? Rav Avadya and Taras Habayis is Mekel for Sfardim, so unless you always follow the Chumash of the Ben Ishchai, Sfardim can should be Mekel, whereas, I think standard Ashkenazi practice is not like the Aruch HaShulchan. Husbands don't eat their wives' leftovers. Shulchan Aruch and Sif Dalit says, Lo yishta mishiri kos sheshas sahi, that you're not allowed to drink the leftovers from her kos. And the Ramah adds five critical kulas to shiure mashke. Taz in Sifkat and Dalit writes, if you look in Taz Sifkat and Dalit, he writes, v'imivzak achar v'neim mot, k'mo b'shiure kos b'samuch, v'chein b'kol ha-kulos sheyeshnan sham, yesh bazeh. When he talks about leftover food, the Taz writes, all of the kulas that the Ramah has for leftover drinks are going to apply to leftover food. Now, if you just think about it logically, we had two models of understanding the relationship between food and drink. We had the Mechaber who says that what's usher by a drink is mutter by food. You don't have to worry about food at all. So then, of course, the Ramah's kulas by a drink are going to apply to food. But then you had the other model of thinking about it, which is like the shop, that the Iker Isser is food, and drink is only a derivation of the Iker Isser, which is food. So then the Taz is a little less mukhrach, right? That whatever coolers you can have by drinks are necessarily going to apply to food? Not necessarily. The Iker Isser is really by food. It's not by drinks. So what you seem to have from the Taz is really a third way of thinking about it, is that it's all the same. Food, drink, it's all the same. It's not that one is the Iker and the other one is a derivation. They're both the Iker. They're both in the Gemara. So really three ways of thinking about it. So when you go through the five leniencies of the Ramah, you have to think about how this is going to apply to Shire Ochel, how this is going to apply to leftover food. So again, the Mechaber says you're not allowed to drink from your wife's leftover drinks. So we're going to have five leniencies of the Ramah and then a few examples and Ha'aros about drinking from leftover drinks. Leniency number one, says the Ramah, if mafsik achar benatayim, that someone else is mafsik in between when he drinks, im losha mafsik adam achar benehem, he says. If no one else has drunk in between, that's when it's aser. So the Taz holds that all those kulas apply to Shirei Machum. So therefore, l'chora, mafsik achar beinehem, is also going to be mutter with Shirei Machum. Meaning if a woman eats a half a piece of chicken, and then one of the children takes another bite out of that chicken, then the husband could eat the whole rest of the chicken because there was mafsik achar beinehem. Ramesh is machmir on this one, which is quite a chiddush, right? That to be machmir, the mafsik achar beinehem does not apply to Shirei Machala. However, on the flip side of Rav Moshe, even if nobody is mafsik, Rav Vosner writes that anything that's clearly meant for lots of people is not called her leftovers. Like a serving plate is not called ta'atu im yachtuch echad prusa me'alechem yichashav ha'kol l'shirayim. Maybe if someone cuts a slice of bread, the whole rest of the bread is called shiurei ma'achala, not shayach. Meaning if it's clearly meant for many different people, then that would not be shiurei ma'achala. It could still be eating out of ka'ara achas, could be an issue, but it's not going to be called shiurei ma'achala if it's meant for many people. So we have, in this mafsik acher b'nehem, we have the kula, mafsik acher b'nehem, we have a chumra and a kula. We have Rav Moshe's chumra, which is a very big chiddush to be machmir, that mafsik achar b'nehem doesn't work on shiurei ma'achala, and we have Rav Vosner's kula that it's unnecessary to have mafsik achar b'nehem when it's something that's clearly meant for many people. So it's ki'ilu, it's always mafsik achar b'nehem, because it's not personal to her. The whole issur of shiurei ma'achala and shiurei mashka is that it's hers, but this is something that's not personal to her, so it's more public. So that is kula number one. Comes along the Ramah, kula number two. Oh, shehurak mikos zeh el kos acher, avilu uksu kos rishon. She drank from a cup, and you're not allowed to now finish what she drank, but if you pour it out into a different cup, even if you then pour it back into the first cup, it's then going to be mutter. It's totally fresh in the cup. It's no longer considered to be her leftover. The Beis Yosef says that the practice is also to rinse the cup in between. and it's not enough to just pour it back and pour it right back in. You got to rinse the original cup. However, in Darkei Moshe, Noz Dalet, he says, "V'lo matzruchin l'kos hadacha." You want to pour it into one cup, pour it right back into the first cup, that's fine, that's all you need. Comes along the Shach and Sivkat and Tess, and the Shach says, yeah, just like the Rama said, that you don't need to rinse. The Shach also points out, and this is a Chumra, that if she drank half, and then he refilled half, that's not good enough. Meaning, what you can do is you can empty it to a different cup, pour it back in the first cup, but if she drank half, and then the husband's like, no, I'd rather have a full cup of soda. She drank half of the cup of soda. So he refills it with more soda, not good enough. And that would still be considered drinking her leftovers. What about the following? What if a woman took a glass of orange juice, she drank half a glass of orange juice, and then the husband refills the other half of the glass with cranberry juice or vodka? Let's get it. Get serious here, right? So the husband fills it, he makes himself a screwdriver, right? Orange juice and vodka, right? Yeah. So is that shirei kos shasahi? What are you telling him?
What would make it different?
The Shach says he can't just fill it with orange juice. That's still shirei kos. But maybe you could say panim chadash is baal lekan. He totally changed the beverage. So.
What bracha does he make?
What bracha does he make? Is that going to make enough kaminas? What?
Maybe.
Shaka.
So. No, it's a new drink then.
What?
You say it's a new drink.
So Rabbi Shragi Kalas Kotz of Chaim Kanievsky was Mekalas. I don't think about vodka. I think whatever. He's some of them. Or Shirley Temple. So if you change the drink by adding something else, by adding a different flavoring to something brand new, then maybe that's Panim Chadash Barakan. Now, the Taz is Mekel on all of these kulas by Shur Me'achala as well, right? The Taz we saw before said that all these kulas work for Shur Me'achala. So therefore, Iluch Ora, it would turn out that if you have a piece of chicken that your wife ate half of, and then you move it onto your plate, that's no longer Shur Me'achala, according to the Taz. Because Taz says all these kulas work for Shur Me'achala. But married guys here may remember when you took custom classes, they probably didn't tell you that. They probably said, no, even if your wife ate half a piece of chicken, so you're definitely not allowed to eat it off of her plate. But then if you move it onto your plate, you're still not allowed to eat it because it's called shirei me'achala. But that's against the Taz. The Taz says that it's no longer called shirei me'achala as long as you move it to your plate. So Ramesh is machmir, and that's probably why, for those who recall or who had learned custom classes, that's probably why you probably learned to be machmir about this one. He says moving it to a different plate doesn't help. Now, wait, if you really hold in principle like the Taz, that the kulas of the Rama apply to shirei me'achala, so why doesn't this kula of the Rama apply to shirei me'achala? Why doesn't emptying from one cup to another, why doesn't that apply to shirei me'achala? So Ramosh was asked about this, and he says, because the relationship a food has to its kli is different than the relationship a drink has to its kli. Meaning, he says, if you're talking about like farina in a chinami, then the kula would apply. You move to a different kli, it freshens the kli. It's a totally new thing. But food doesn't really need a plate. It's just convention and derech eretz to have food on a plate. But the food is fine. You could. It doesn't really aid in the eating when you have food on a plate. It doesn't help you at all. It just happens to me that it's less of a mess. But meaning on the countertop. But if you try to have soup without a plate, you try to have a drink without soup without a bowl, a drink without a glass, it doesn't work. Meaning it needs the glass. So the glass really freshens the entire thing. So you have a similar distinction Ramesha has in his tshuva about tevilas kelim. Ramesha has a tshuva, you're eating at someone's house, and you discover, you know, through the course of conversation, that they never did tefillas kelim. Like, you know, you say, oh, I've been learning about halachas of tefillas kelim, and they're like, tefillas white? You know, like, what's that? And then you know, oh, okay, I guess none of the kelim are tefillas in this house. So you're allowed to eat off of any of the kelim. So Moshe says, you shouldn't eat out of any of the kelim, you shouldn't use any of the kelim that need tefillah, meaning that are necessary for eating the food, but those kelim that are not necessarily for eating the food, like a plate, let's say it's a glass plate, right, something like that, so then it's not... then that's okay. Or a fork also. You could eat just as effectively with your hands as you can with a fork. It's just that people around you will look at you funny if you do so. But soup, you're not going to be able to like lap it up in your, you know, in your hand and eat it that way. So that's why the spoon is considered to be a problem. So that's how Rav Moshe has such a similar distinction. It's not even that dissimilar to the concept of klisheni in Yeridaya and Hilchos Shabbos. You know that it's the chumrah of the taz of the marshal, right? You know what I'm talking about, right? Mm-hmm. If you have a solid food, so you put it on a plate. So now it should be a klisheni, right? And therefore it should not be. Should not give any time into the food, into the plate. Let's say you have trefa food, you cooked it in a pot, and you put it on a dish, on a dinner plate, right? So you put it on a dinner plate. Is that dinner plate treif? It's hot food that you took out of the pot, put it on a dinner plate. So that's klisheni. So klisheni is napaleya. So the plate should be perfectly kosher. So why are we machmir about that? We're machmir because the marshal says, now a solid food on a piece on a plate, it doesn't really. Doesn't really spread throughout the entire plate. You don't have the funnels macaros. You don't have all the. It just sits there like a blob on the plate. So then we assume it still has a din like a kli rishon. Again, that speaks to the relationship between solid foods and the kalim that they're on. Versus, we just had this shiloh last night. We had like an emergency pod meeting last night because Tanakash was in the pod. I'll give you the hack. There's a restaurant that had. That had gone to some rogue hashkacha for some time, and it was just recently bought by by a mensch, by exactly his name, but by a very nice person, and he bought the restaurant. And he said, okay, now I want to bring it back under the proper communal hashkacha. So we had to talk about, okay, now we got to kasher the whole place because we don't trust the other hashkacha. So the shaila we had is. It's going to take a while to kasher, you know, because it's a lot of stuff to kasher, but okay, so we'll streamline as much as we can, get as many people in there as we can to kasher as quickly as we can. But what about all the dinnerware? What about all the plates? Because they have to, you know, they're all china. You can't kasher that. So, you know, are we going to rely on Hagalah Gimel Pamim and the Itur, and or maybe not kasher at all and say it's all klisheni anyway? You know, the place, you know, we have no evidence of any nevelos of treifus or anything. We have no evidence of anything. We haven't been in there in 3 years. We don't know what's been going on there. But ostensibly it had Orthodox rabbis, you know, certifying it, so you can be machmir on the klisheni plates to make them throw out all the plates and to buy new plates in such a situation, right? So that's this issue of the relationship. So if you're machmir with marshal, then as much as you kasher. Then you need to kasher those the plates as well. So we asked. So Rabbi Forst is on our. It's funny because like they're like, what do the Rabbanim think? And everyone's like, we're not going to talk until Rabbi Forst does. You know, like that. No one's going to express an opinion. So you know, there was like awkward silence for like 30 seconds, and Rabbi Finder says, can I ask Rabbi Forst to please share his opinion? And that's how things go. I mean, then we discuss, obviously. But anyway, so Rabbi Forst said to Rabbi Eisen, if this was any other restaurant, would you rely on the Bali Yitter? Would you rely on, you know? He said, no, I would normally not rely on the Bali Yitter. I mean, we don't do that. It's not industry standard in kashrus. If you take over a trefa restaurant, you throw out all the dishes and you get new dishes. So anyway. Throwing out all the dishes and getting the dishes. Yeah.
If it's a pretty big amount of focus and there's a lot of room to remake like the taz here, would it be possible to say that one should remake if being machmir like a shach would be also be the cool of like bal tashlis?
Say again? If what?
If there's a lot of room to remake anyways, obviously it was like usher, you can't just say, well, it's bal tashlis probably.
But right.
If there's a lot of room to remake anyways, then it would be bal tashlis in that case, donate leftovers.
In terms of, are you back in Hilchos Nida now?
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, so again, so say what?
Say Hilchos Nida, can one spouse eat the other one's leftovers? If not eating leftovers, means it would have to be thrown out?
Yeah, it will never mean that, because we'll see all the other kulas. There are other solutions. So it's rarely going to mean that it's going to have to be thrown out. Yeah.
Sorry, I think the wife's leftovers, if she finished eating on the plate, would it be in the for the husband to eat from that same plate, or is that still called karma? She's done.
It's a good question, because by a drink, we assume once it's finished, it's no longer hers. But I think Sfarim are still machmir on that.
Oh,
No, karachas.
Yeah.
I think so. Now, the Debrecina Rav in the third Chelik of Ber Moshe disagrees with Ber Moshe. He holds that there's a greater kurva by shtia than by achila. So every kula that works for shtia has to work for achila. And Ramesh is going to say, what are you talking about? I hold like the Shach, that Achil is more Chomer, that Achil is the Ikr. Meaning, the whole, Ramesh and the Ber Moshe are having this Machlokas, which is the Machlokas, from much, much earlier. The third Kul of the Ramah is Shasa Vuhue in Yodea, Verotza Lishos Mikoshala, in Itzrich Lahagadah Shle Yishta. That if she drank from a cup, and he has no idea that she had drunk from it, she knows that she drank from it, but he doesn't know. So she doesn't have to tell him. The whole idea is that in his mind, he's going to think that he's doing something that has this sense of kurva associated with it. But if he doesn't even realize, then it's not going to be a problem. Fourth kula of the Ramah, the humutaris lishtos mikos sheshasa hu. She is allowed to drink his leftovers. Meaning, if they want to share a soda, as long as he drinks first, that's perfectly fine. Or more relevant, she wants to drink from the Kiddush wine. So if his wife sits next to him, so she could drink, he could say Kiddush, drink Kiddush wine, put it down, and then she could take and drink the rest of the cup. The Aruch HaShulchan has trouble with this distinction, right? This idea that he should drink first, and then it's different if it's her versus him. So the Ramah explains, no, it's logical. He lo margilale. She's not going to be margil him to do avera. He'll be the one that is more likely to be margil her to avera. But the Aruch HaShulchan asks, understand? Beni maven dvarav. I get that she's not going to be margil him. Given she shows the if she's drinking right in front of him, mishirayim shalom, but from his leftovers, umar lo chiba. So that's a show of chiba. Nechush shehu yargilola avera. Meaning, enochinami, she's not going to be the one that initiates, but he'll initiate if he senses that there's korva coming in his direction, and having her drink from shiray kol shalom is also going to lead to korva. So he says, "V'tzarich lomer d'zeshi shosa eino derechiba el dafka k'shus shosa mishireha." Now, for some reason, it has to be. We must be assuming that her drinking his leftovers. It's not that it's derechiba, but she's not going to initiate it. It's not derechiba b'chlal. When he drinks her leftovers, that's derechiba. Avlim kinein tzarich l'tam v'lomar galalei. But then I don't understand why the Ramah has to say lomar galalei. It's not about lomar galalei. It's about what's called derechiba to begin with. He says, maybe that's what he really meant, that it's that there's no chashash of hergal daber. Now the fifth kula of the Ramah, im shasa mikos vaholchala yeshom shemutal lishos amosu de'achar shekvar holcha ein kan chiba, that if she drank from the coast and then she left, so then he's allowed to have the leftovers. So again, all these apply to food as well, and therefore if she ate half a piece of chicken and then she left, so he's allowed to eat the other half a piece of chicken.
When she drinks his leftover kiddush, there's no issue of mezigas hakos?
Why mezigas hakos?
Is he
part of that? No, I don't think so. We'll get to mezigas hakos. I don't think so, for several reasons, but we'll see when we get there. Now, the practice to give husband and wife separate cups of wine to drink from at Sheva Brachos relates to this harchaka, right? Meaning it works with the assumption that she's already a nida by the time they're at Sheva Brachos. Usually it's a fake out, right? Meaning usually they're the first Sheva Brachos, no one's a nida yet. But they play the part. By chuppas nida, there's an interesting discussion of what to do, because on the one hand she's drinking second, right? So it's fine. But on the other hand, there's a kos shaleiris and a kos shal nisuin, and if they don't have two kosos set up under the chuppah, very often they'll just refill the same kos from erisin to nisuin. Typically, that's what we'll do. Right, we'll have one kos that we'll just keep refilling from between the erisin and the nisuin. So what happens by the erisin? Chassan drinks first, right? Then the kala drinks. Okay, so far so good. And then comes the nisuin, and the chassan drinks first, but now it's the kala's shirei kos that he's drinking. So is that mutter? So a couple of reasons to be makel over here. First of all, what are the reasons to be makel?
Not married yet,
right? Meaning when she drank from it, they weren't yet married, because she drank from it before the Maisa Kedushin. The brachas are made right before the Maisa Kedushin. Rav Shach is very machmid to try to do all the other stuff, all the questioning and the grilling him, and, you know, did you buy this ring with your own money, or whatever, you know, whatever you want to ask him. He doesn't think we should do too much grilling, but, you know, whatever questions you want to ask him before the brachos, because you don't want to be mafsik between the bracha and the Maisa Kedushin. But the bracha is definitely made before the Maisa Kedushin, and we make it over Las Yasan, and therefore you don't even have Kedushin yet at that time. Furthermore, there are poskim that hold that none of the harchakos apply during the Chuppas Nida, because there's no Heter Yichud, and all the harchakos are only to balance the Heter Yichud, but the Chuppas Nida doesn't have a Heter Yichud, so you don't need any of the harchakos in order to balance that to Yichud, and that's why he puts the ring straight on her finger also, according to many, many poskim. So you have these different tzadim to be makel. I think minigas to be makel on that. Of course, the other solution you could just do is she could just down it, right? Meaning the Gersers, and she could just finish the whole coast. But, you know, that would make for a fun wedding. The question? Yeah.
Just back on the last point to the Ramah. Rabbi says that she left. What's the definition of leaving?
Oh, so what's the definition of leaving? So I saw some discussion in postgame. What if she just goes to the bathroom for a minute? So is that called that she left? I think yes. I think the postgame generally assume that is called leaving. I would even say, I don't know if it's controversial or anything, let's say you're at a wedding, right? It's your wife's, it's one of those Nichsei Malug weddings, right? It's like your wife's friend, you know, like you don't even know the chassan, you know. So like, yeah, okay, so you're there. So she ate something, and then she goes to dance. You have no one to dance with, but you have plenty to eat, right? So is that called that she's not there anymore? So I think like at a wedding where it's so crowded, and she's out on the other end of the room on the dance floor, you know, with all her shtick and whatever else, and, you know, and you're sitting at the table, that's probably called Shalom Befaneha also, I would think. Yeah.
In terms of the second answer for the coast, I thought was it last week that her chalkas would still apply, even if she was in Ida. Like, even if they're also a Be'ichud.
Yeah, but there are poskim that say that it doesn't, so, yeah.
What, can we apply Kula to so many people around the table, so it's like what we spoke about before, that someone's sitting in between the husband and wife.
No, that doesn't apply to Shira and Machal, I don't think. I think that's only with the need for a hacker. I don't think that applies to the other Dinah and Machakos. The Pischi Chuvin Sivkat and Vav says in the name of the Yal Eliyahu that Isha Nida Shehiricha Tabak Kimo Chatzi Kli Mutal Labaila Laria Hamosar Dizelo Damila Achila. What's he talking about?
Cigarette.
Smoking half a cigarette. So if a woman smokes a half a cigarette and then she puts it down in the ashtray, can the husband finish smoking the other half a cigarette? So Baruch Hashem, there's not so no gay on the Maisa anymore, you know, probably because everyone vapes, but whatever. But, you know, you know, so I guess
that's it. Vaping.
What? Yeah. a lot of it's Sunday, you know. But it used to, when I was growing up, like every restaurant had ashtrays on every table. Like, it was like such a thing. I remember when we were in Israel for my son's, for my youngest son's Hanukkah, we went to Israel. So there was a, you know, in Europe everyone still smokes. So in Israel there was a restaurant. There were ashtrays, and my daughter was like, they have plates for cigarettes? Like, she couldn't believe it. Like, I've never seen that before. A plate for a cigarette? But like that was that was the norm. So. He talks about, so finishing the cigarette, he says, mutter, that's not a problem of shiurim achala. Why is it not shiurim achala? It's not a food, right? Which is interesting, because I think Rav Sternbach has a tshuva about smoking on Yantif, and I think Rav Sternbach suggests one of the svaras to be made, right, what's the problem with smoking on Yantif, leaving out the problems of smoking in general, right, that you're not allowed to commit suicide, even if you're doing it really slowly. The problem with smoking on Yantif is that there's an Isser Daraisa, Malacha Daraisa called Havara, and every time you take a puff from a cigarette, you're being Mavireish, so it's a violation of Havara. Aye, but you land in Havara and Yantif Lutzorach Alchol Nefesh, and Mitok Shehutru Lutzorach Alchol Nefesh, Hutrunami Shulah Lutzorach Alchol Nefesh, whatever's Mutzorach Alchol Nefesh, you can do even when it's not Alchol Nefesh, but that's only when it's Shavu'ah Alchol Nefesh. But if the act that you're doing is not shavu'ah kol nefesh, then you don't have that heter of avara letzorach ochel nefesh. It's not shavu l'kol nefesh. And smoking used to perhaps be shavu l'kol nefesh because it was something that everybody did. But nowadays, it's certainly not shavu l'kol nefesh. A very small percentage of the population still smokes, and therefore it would be considered something that's not shavu l'kol nefesh. So that poses a big problem for people who like to smoke on yantif. And it was always understood that they were allowed to. Now it's not shavu l'kol nefesh, and it really puts a damper on their lifestyle now. Like, so Schoenberg suggests that maybe smoking is not just it's not just a mitoch shutzu tzorcha. It's ochel nefesh mamish, because it's kiilu, it's like a food, because you're less hungry when you smoke a lot, meaning it kills your appetite. So you're less hungry. So maybe it has a din like a food itself, and the food itself doesn't actually need to be shavu l'kol nefesh. Also a chiddush, right? Because the Gemara gives the example of tzvi, right? That venison is not something that is, the Gemara asks, well, that's not something that everybody enjoys, that everybody eats, not everyone could afford it. The Gemara says, well, if everyone could afford it, they would enjoy it. It's just that not everyone could afford it. So that's called shavu l'kol nefesh. But the implication is that even if something is a food, it's just that a lot of people don't like that food, and most people wouldn't eat that food, that it would not be called shavu l'kol nefesh. Okay, but whatever it is, so he works with the assumption that maybe a cigarette does have a din of food in order to be makel over there. But if you say a cigarette has a din of food, he's going to have to be machmir on smoking the rest of your wife's cigarette. Okay, we don't spend so much time talking about cigarettes. Rav Vazir then says that toothpaste is also not called shirei ma'achala, and you can use, she didn't use all the toothpaste in the tube, right? So you can use the leftover toothpaste and mouthwash and things like that. So about the Yeshulchan and the Biurim, when Dibra Maskul Shasol Lechem Shurim Achol Shula, says butter is not called leftovers. Even one of those small single serving things in foil kinds of butter is not called, if she just takes half and you take the other half, because the Kivan She'ein Hachem Anechal Bifnei Atzmo El Anechal Mapasu Ketafelo Im Keinenu Balachal Ma'achala Ad Shismarechal Pita. That because man shu bifnei atzma in nechshav ma'achala sheyachal bo din shirai. It doesn't have a din of a meichel until it's on the bread. So it's not called, and when it's in that little foil packet, it's not a meichel yet, because no one would eat it that way. It only becomes a meichel when you put it on the bread. So when you put it on the bread, it's already, it's not shirayim anymore, because whatever she left over was before it became a meichel. The same svara would apply to salt and sugar and dips and things like that. You know, like, why would you ever have her leftover dips? So if it's, like we said, a thing of dips anyway, so it's not called, you know, where it's the whole table sharing or whatever, then it's not shir machala anyway, because then you have the other head of other people, then it's meant for many other people. But let's say you're at a simcha and they give sometimes on a Friday night, you ever go to a Shabbat brachos or an upper of something, so they serve a plate with three personal things of dips. So you're looking at these dips, you can't identify them, but one of them smells like olive, and you're not going to have that. So, but there's one that's really geschmack, and your wife started it, and she's not finishing it, so can you have that? Is that shirei ma'achala? So, he tainas that l'chor it's not, because it's not a Michael yet. Yeah.
We make a chalak between something like margarine and like these dips a lot of times. You have like a lot of a tiny little piece of bread, just eat the dip, or like hummus, sometimes people eat plain.
But does anyone ever put a spoon in the dip and just eat the dip?
Yeah,
do people do that? Okay, if people do that, then they do that. I don't know. Really? The eggplant? Okay, eggplant here, maybe. Okay. Alright, I don't know. Yeah.
Don't some people hold that mouthwash and needs to be checked to make sure there's no chametz term?
Yeah, so that whether mouthwash is a food or not, right? It's like the old Rebelsky of Shefter Machlokas. Shefter holds that mouthwash, toothpaste, all these things. Listerine strips, all these things don't need shkacha, don't need a hechsher, because they're not food. It's pasha that it's not food. Chapstick, flavored chapstick, things like that. It's pasha that it's not food. Belsky had a much broader definition of food. He said these things are delicious. I remember listening to the question session. I kept using the word delicious. I'm like, that's a little much. Mouthwash is delicious. Toothpaste is delicious. Like. Yeah, no, I've never ate Mrs. Belsky's cooking, but you thought that everything was so delicious. Must have been a great husband.
According to Belsky, you wouldn't be able to share the same container of mouthwash.
I don't think so. Meaning, I don't think that I'm all necessarily talizah bizah. You know, that these halachas are necessarily talizah. But the mitzvah shkach is that it has some food quality, but I don't think you would actually call it a maifel. Meaning, roi lachila doesn't make it a maifel. Right, let's put it that way. So it's roi lachila would have to have hashkacha. So he holds it's roi lachila because it's delicious, but it doesn't necessarily make it an actual food. Pesach Chuvah Simchat Zayin discusses a funny case. He says, she starts eating a piece of chicken, and you're looking at that piece of chicken thinking, that looks delicious. I hope she doesn't finish it. And then she only gets like halfway through, and you're like, yes. And then you take she's not an eater, right? So you take, right, when you're Ishta Torah, so you take the other piece of chicken, you start digging in, and then she's like, ah, oh, Hargasha, just became an eater. So now what do you do, right? So are you allowed to continue eating the piece of food? So he says, you don't have to stop, you can keep on eating. So he doesn't explain why. So there are two explanations why. Either because he was maschil beheter, or because once he already started eating, it's no longer called her leftovers. So he had already started, so it's his leftovers now, it's not her leftovers. Nafkamina would be, what if he was eating her leftovers be'isser, right, meaning she's a nida, and he eats her leftovers. Stam, he's not so frum. So he eats, you know, their Mechalei Shabbos, the Shomer Kashrus, and he's eating her leftovers, and she says to him, you know, I've been thinking, maybe we should become frum. And he's like, you're right, let's be Balei Tshuva. So now, is he allowed to continue? So if it was Maschel Behetzer, it wasn't Maschel Behetzer, because he was Maschel Be'isser, he knew exactly what he was doing. But if it's going to be called that it's his leftovers, so then he's allowed to continue eating. Or if he discovers in the middle of eating that it was her leftovers, he had no idea that it was her leftovers, she didn't tell him, because that was one of the other clues of the Ravash, she doesn't have to tell him. Then he's like, wait a second, if it's just me and you that live here, and half of this piece of chicken was eaten, who ate it? And she says, it was me, I'm the one. Right, so that would also be a nafkamina l'chor, because he was maschil beheter in that case. Well, no, in that case he's maschil beheter because he didn't know. So no, that wouldn't be a nafkamina, that would be according to both. At a certain point, it might stop being called shiurei ma'achala, meaning if, let's say, it was put away in the refrigerator and he took it out the next day. So that's still called shiurei ma'achala. So it's mistaver that it would not be called shiurei ma'achala anymore, but I haven't seen posting that explicitly say that, meaning if she's still there, right? I mean, if she's not there, then you have that heter. Or let's say she ate half a piece of a grilled chicken cutlet, she didn't eat the other half a piece, and she cuts it up and puts it in a salad for him. He likes to have chicken salad. She cuts it up, puts it in a salad, throws some dressing on it. It's a totally different Michael now. So do you say Pan Chadashus Ba'olakad? Maybe a similar discussion that we had with the screwdriver or the Shirley Temple or whatever, right? So is that... Okay, Rav Shlomo Kluger holds that if she just tasted the food, a ti'ima ba'alma, then it does not become shiurei ma'achala. He holds similarly in Simon Peites with regard to waiting between basar v'chala, that ti'ima doesn't do it, that ti'ima is not called ochel. Okay, that's shiurei ma'achala. Questions?
Yeah. How did he take her piece of chicken that was on the plate? He followed the Taz and just put it on his plate? Where did he
put it? He put it on his plate. He moved it to his plate.
Against Rav Moshe.
Against Rav Moshe, yeah. No, Rav Moshe holds that's still called shiurei ma'achala. It's not called mikarachas, right? So that would be a violation of shiurei ma'achala. Yeah. I mean, which case were you talking about?
When she has chicken on her plate and she has half of it, and you're excited, and she says like, "I'm done," and then you take chicken.
If she was tahora, it's fine.
Oh, because she was tahora. That was the
right.
Case, right?
Yeah. Now, Mezikas HaKos. The Gemara in Ksubas lists Mezikas HaKos in Ksubas HaMachalot as something that Anid is not allowed to do, Labaila. The Smag, by the way, assumes that it's only Asur if she both pours it and places it in his hand, or pours it into a cup that's already in his hand. He holds that there's no independent Isra Oshata, right? He holds like the Rambam, there's no Isra Oshata, nor is there any independent Isra Meziga. It's Meziga Voshata. It's only if you do both that it's going to be aser. But we're machmir about the, we're machmir like the Rashba and the Taurus Abayis and the Rush and Ksubas, that they're independent. Hashatah is an iser, and Mezikah is an iser, that each one in its own right is going to be aser. So the Gemara says that Shmuel machlefalei debitu biyada desmala, Abaye Manchle Apuma de Kuva, Rava Besadia, Rav Papa Shashifa. Shmuel's wife would switch do with her left hand. Abaye's wife would place the cup on the mouth of a jug, and Rav Papa's wife would put it on a stool. So they would put it in a place that was a shinui, meaning they did some sort of shinui in how they would do the meziga. So apparently, while there is an issur meziga sakos, there's a heter, and the heter is that if you do it with a shinui. The question is, how broad is this issur? Is meziga sakos dafka a din in yayin, or is that a din in anything? So the Rashba writes that meziga sakos is specifically yayin. Beis Yosef's medayik that benir midvarav shekola mashkin mutarin chutz min hayayin. That you could be medayik clearly from the Rashba. Anything else other than wine is going to be mutter. Then Beis Yosef quotes that goes by Monios in Parakid Beis, who further limits this by saying that the issue is only in diluting the wine with water, but pouring a cup of wine is not a problem. So two major tzadim lahakel, that the Rashba this only applies to wine. So if you're not a big wine drinker, you don't have to worry about mezika sakos. And second of all, it's only about meziga. Meziga means to dilute it. And it doesn't apply. It has nothing to do with pouring wine. It's only about diluting wine. So the Makar Chaim is bothered. Why would the Balei HaShulchan Aruch talk about meziga sakos as if that's something that happens every day? If no one ever dilutes wine anymore, already in the times of the Shulchan Aruch, no one was diluting wine anymore. The wine was already much weaker by the times of the Shulchan Aruch. So why would that be just a topic of conversation? So he says, maybe mezika sakos means you're adding spices to the wine, you're adding flavoring to the wine, I don't know, something like that. Magen Mishnah writes in Parakid Aleph Halach Yutes that mezika sakos shel yayin dafka aval shel mayim mutter. Ooh, so which syllable do you put the emphasis on, right? Mezika sakos shel yayin mutter, shel yayin dafka aval shel mayim mutter. There's a lot between yayin and mayim. I mean, what about mezika sakos of everything else? That's not yayin and mayin. So Beis Yosef writes that you're tempted to be medayik, that only water is mutter, and other drinks are aser. But that's not a correct diuk, he says. The more correct diuk is, the nakat kos shal yayin, lememer de lo aser elo shal yayin, velo shal shal mashkin, umayim de nakat, besef alav davka, duha din l'shar mashkin chutz min hayayin. He says, and that obviously would be better because that way the Magen Mishnah is aligned with the Rashba, where the Rashba says it's only about Yayin. So it would be good if the Magen Mishnah was aligned with the Rashba. Shach and Sivkot and Yud Gimel and the Bach assume that other drinks are included as well. Chach Masadim holds that way. Taras holds that way. The Aruch HaShulchan and Sidrei Tara hold like the Taz that applies to drinks. However, the Taz is makel that it doesn't apply to serving food, which is an act of avdus and not an act of chiba. So he distinguishes over here between food and drink in terms of that, in terms of the meziga. But it does apply to shar mashkim according to many, many, many of the achronim. So even though the rishonim, you have a lot of indication that it only applies to yayin, and you always keep that in your mind, this nifla hakel, according to many, it applies to shar mashkim. So what we always recommend is, you know, it's explicit that a shinui works, and that's explicit in the Gemara. So if you're going to be, so yeah, we'll be machmir, then it applies to shar mashkim, but just do the shinui, and then it's going to solve the problem. The Gemara is explicit, you can do mezigah with the shinui. The Rambam just quotes the Yisr, he makes no mention of the shinui. So Beis Yosef tries to figure out, like, what happened? Why did the Rambam miss that, you know? And the Gemara was not like, you know, it wasn't like something you could miss in the Gemara. The Gemara gave four examples of shinuis that were used by Gedolei Olam, you know? So the Beis Yosef writes, after Shekhaim Mishum Dimashamish Allah, Shlomi Tiru Ali De Shinoi El Adam Godol, Dum Yodahanach Rabban Shayuzir, Charedim Dvar Shabbi Yosef, Yavel Lachto, Avalol Sharkal Adam. Wow. He says, maybe the Rambam understood the Gemara. Yeah, the Gemara gave four examples of Gedolei Olam that were making with the Shinoi. Because only Gedolei Olam are allowed to be making with the Shinoi. Regular people are not allowed to be making with the Shinoi. These are people that were so holy that a little Shinoi would be enough to take away the sense of Chiba. That's a Mechidish, no? We normally assume what? Kol HaGadol LeChaveiro? Yitzro HaGadol LeMenu. Adrabah, if they're Gedolei Olam, they have a big Yitzro Hara. In Sivyu, the Shulchan Aruch quotes his Haterim with the left hand and placing it on the Kara or Kesed. He does quote the Aruch HaShulchan, Sittes Vav, says that the left hand only works if she carries it to the table with her right hand and then switches it to the left hand to serve it. Certainly, if she's holding a drink in each hand and places one down for him with her left hand, that's not a shinu. Meaning, even though she normally would serve with the right hand, but if she goes to the bar at a wedding and comes back with two Diet Cokes, right, and puts one down for him and one down for her, so the fact that she put his down with the left hand is not a shinu at all. Unless maybe she does a Yaakov Avinu or something, I don't know. But that would not... Some poskim hold that shinoi only works when she's doing it for him, but not when he is doing it for her. That shinoi, it's quite a chumrah, right? Meaning that not only does mezigas hakos apply from man to woman also, which the Gemara didn't say. The Gemara said she komlach she isha osa lebayil lenida osa lebayil chutz mi mezigas hakos. So not only a chumrah that it applies when he's serving to her as well, but that the chumrah without the kula, that you don't even have the heter of a shinoi. In the Kenei Bosem, he writes that the Mezigas HaKos is one of the Melachos She'isha Osa L'Bayla. So Shinoi takes away the Chiba element of the Melacha. But when he serves her, it's a pure act of Chiba, because it's not expected that he's supposed to be serving the food in the house. So a Shinoi shouldn't work. We don't pass that way. We assume that a Shinoi works. We try to be Machmer both man and woman, but we assume that a Shinoi works.
Could there be a distinction between alcoholic drinks in general versus non-alcoholic?
There could be. It's just I don't know if there is. Meaning, it seems that the fact that the Magen Mishnah says not mayim, and the Beis Yosef says don't make any tiyukim, that he uses mayim as an example. It's really right. It's anything but yayin he's make with. So I don't know if there is.
What would be unique about yayin that's also with every other drink? Meaning, even like
it's more chashuv. We have sometimes like that, right? 9 days, you know, things like that.
Can you place that?
Like, so, I think you put it off to the side, not directly in front of him. And that's enough of a shinoi. It's not really on a mouth of a barrel or a bench or something. You don't have to put it on his chair. I think the post can say you put it off to the side. Yeah. The Beis Yosef points out the mezigah is mutzah when it's not done in his presence, right? Just like the Gemara says explicitly about Hatzos Hamita. When the Shulchan Aruch in Sif Yud says that Asur Limzok HaKos, Rama adds the word Bifanav. Right? It's Asur Limzok HaKos Bifanav. So if she poured it somewhere else, then it sounds like she could place it in front of him. However, Rabbi Four says we should be machmir in that. He's not sure if the Shulchan Aruch disagrees with Rama. It seems to me that he agrees with Rama, because if you look at the Beis Yosef, he agrees with Rama. That when it's not done b'fanav, then it's mutter, right? So it seems l'chavra that he agrees with Rama. The Rabbi Force is not sure. Like, maybe the Shulchan Aruch disagrees with Rama because the Shulchan Aruch didn't use the word b'fanav. I'm not sure why he's not sure. If you look in Beis Yosef, it seems pretty clear. Last thing, husband pouring. So the Rashba says it applies equally to the husband pouring for the wife as well. The Zigas HaKos applies to the husband also. However, in Shuvas Divrei Yoel, Yardeus and Samach Dalit Oz Beis, he says nowhere in Shas or Rishonim, other than this Rashba, who is only saying it misvara without any rayas, do we find that it's asur for him to pour for her. And therefore he says a husband is allowed to pour wine for his wife. Sat Rabbi writes that if the Rashba is the entire source of the isur for the husband pouring, then you have every right to rely on the Rashba's shita that all drinks except for wine are mutter, and even wine is okay if she doesn't mix it. Meaning, which is an interesting svara. Meaning, he's saying you only need to be loyal to every risha. The Rashba is the only one that said it's also for a husband to be mozik kos shel ishta, but the Rashba was also the one who said that it only applies to yayin. So, if you want to be mozik anything else, then it's perfectly fine because you satisfied everybody. You ask every other risha, and they never heard of the problem with the husband doing anything for the wife. You ask the Rashba, he'll say as long as it's not yayin, I'm satisfied. It's a shverer way to look at a halacha, no? Meaning these two things, they're two totally independent discussions. So it could be that we pass them like the Rashba like this, and we pass them not like the Rashba in that. Meaning Rav Asher Weiss has an expression in one of his shuvas. Was it about? I think it was in something to do with using schnapps for kiddush or something. He has a tshuva to Tzvika Reisman, where Tzvika tries to make one of these connections, that if you satisfy the taz over here, the taz over there, whatever. So Rav Asher Weiss says like a special kruchin yardu halachos elu min hashamayim, right? These halachos came down bound up min hashamayim, that one relates to the other, two separate machlokos. But that's what Sadma Rebbe writes. Rabbi Forst, in footnote 148 on page 78, says, the logic is not compelling, since the two questions are not dependent upon one another. Other poskim do not seem to agree with the Divrei Yalom. Rabbi Forst quotes a Suga B'Shoshanim in the name of the Tshuvas Rav Meir Brandsdorfer, that the husband serving the wife is even stricter, based on a grada. The entire iser of the husband pouring a cup for his wife is learned from that of sending her a cup of wine, so you can't even apply the heter of left hand or not being present, meaning, like we said before, that it could be, like the Tnei Bosim said, that you're not allowed to have, that the heter of shinut doesn't even work. What's the svara that the heter of shinut doesn't work for a husband? Is because there's an iser of l'shloach l'kol shel yayin that you have by a husband that you don't have by a wife. So as an extension of the iser of l'shloach l'kol shel yayin, you see that there's more that there's more reason to be machmir about, you know, the gather of what's called serving when it comes to a husband to a wife. He's not even allowed to be shaleach l'kol shel yayin means, I guess we'll get to it, but it means like, you know, you order a drink for your wife, or you say, you know, pass this to mommy or something like that, right? That's shaleach l'kol shel yayin. That's also from the husband to the wife. So this as an extension of shaleach l'kol shel yayin should be more chamer from the husband to the wife. So anyway, we try to be machmir about this, especially since it's really easy to utilize the shinoi, but I do think we are makil, even on the husband, that a shinoi is good enough. Okay, so we didn't quite finish all of the dining room archakos. We have to do serving food and shaleach l'kos shal yayin, and then the bedroom archakos. Baruch Hashem, we'll do all of that on Wednesday. Okay, have a great day with Mincha. Do we have interest in the Mincha?